Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
A few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
Senator Richard Blumenthal, we're so glad to have you this Thursday morning. How are you?
I am well. Hope you all are well, too. Thanks for all your great work.
Oh, well, thank you for being with us. I wanted to dive right into this because it honestly is a huge concern, I think, and I feel like you could probably bring some more light to what is going on and sort of explain it a little bit better. We're hearing reports that Turkish airstrikes are happening in northern Syria, and they want to create a safe zone. But the problem is the Kurds mostly live in that area. And for anyone who doesn't know, the Kurds have honestly been a huge ally to the U.S. military. They have helped us with fighting and defeating ISIS. They've guarded a lot of our troops. They've lost 11,000 fighters in the last few years just trying to do this. Are we looking at complete annihilation, basically, of the Kurds? And what does that mean for us?
We're looking at a lot of bloodshed, killing, and even massacre of women and children who are in those areas where the Kurds are now bombing mercilessly. They are invading areas that have been controlled by Kurds. And I know for most Americans, Kurds seem like a distant, incomprehensible, tiny little group of people. But they have been our fiercest allies. And I know as a member of the Armed Services Committee, hearing military men and women who are in the fight at the tip of the spear, risking their lives in harm's way, our troops, our men and women in uniform, talking with great loyalty about how the Kurds have been at their side in fighting ISIS. They've been our most reliable allies in the region. And we've made promises to them that we would be there for them just as they were there for us. So breaking our word in these circumstances is really a betrayal of trust for the greatest nation in the history of the world. We are the greatest nation. And great nations keep their word. So it has implications, not only for the Kurds, it's a humanitarian crisis.
Well, and what's concerning,
our other allies.
Well, and what's concerning about this, Senator, is the fact that it sounds like from multiple reports, President Trump has said just the opposite, that the Kurds really haven't played much of a role in our most recent world war. And I'm just wondering, I know we pulled our troops out of there, out of the border. So basically, we're not helping these guys out at all.
The President of the United States said that it was fine to betray the Kurds because, after all, they were not at the beaches of Normandy. Well, you know, the Kurds are, there's no way they could be at the beaches of Normandy. So it would be laughable if it were not so serious for our nation, because our word has to mean something. And here's the very practical result. ISIS is strengthened. ISIS can now come back in that area because we're gone. The Kurds are going to be decimated, and the Turks are going to do whatever's in their best interest. Iran is strengthened, and so is Russia. So it's kind of like hitting all the exactly the wrong results. There's no upside here in this move for the United States of America.
We're speaking with Senator Richard Blumenthal this morning, our weekly visit with him. Now, Melissa talked about this in her newscast a couple of times, CBD products. They're very popular here and across the nation. You're calling on the Food and Drug Administration to take action on these products. Why?
I believe that the public has a right to know which of the products have the benefits that they promise. The manufacturers need to know what the rules of the road are. In fact, the industry is growing, and the industry itself would like a regulatory framework here, because most of the industry are good guys. They want to tell consumers what they can about how safe and effective the products are. But they also are plagued by some bad actors who are making outlandish and ridiculous, deceptive and misleading products about how these products can cure cancer or Alzheimer's. Well, they can have some health benefits in dealing with anxiety, depression, pain, but they have to be the right products to do so. And so which of them are safe and effective, which are advertising truthfully?
So basically what you're saying is that for as far as CBD products are concerned, you're not talking about third parties. You're saying every cafe, every gym, any place that serves a CBD product, if you will, infused product, they need to be looked at and make sure that they're kind of following the rules.
Well, not necessarily places that are serving the products, but the manufacturers of the products, when they advertise them, when they promote and pitch them, have to be truthful and accurate. They can't overpromise or deceive consumers. And also the manufacturers will benefit because none of the good guys, that is, wants this area to be another Wild West of consumers being on their own and at the mercy of overpromises and the celebrity influencers who are making those kinds of pitches.
Senator Blumenthal, we have run out of time, but we thank you so much for taking a few minutes this morning. We'll speak to you next Thursday.
Wonderful. See you then.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right, we're joined this morning by Luke Frey, and Luke is with the Better Business Bureau, and he's got some tips for you here to save some money, and also he doesn't want you to get scammed. Luke, how you doing this morning, my friend?
Hi, good. How are you?
We're doing just fine. Now, Halloween right around the corner. Now, the National Retail Federation says Americans will spend more than $8 billion on the holiday. That's a lot of money, boy, I'll tell you. And what's your advice to some folks to save some money?
So it is a lot. However, wait until I'm talking about Christmas and other holidays.
No. I don't want to talk about that. No, Luke.
Back it up.
I know. Okay, so back to Halloween. Hasn't happened yet. So a lot of people usually are either spending on decorations, costumes, or other events and haunted houses. So if you're talking costumes, decor around your home. Obviously, our top tip is look around your home, go up in your attic, see what you had from last year, pull down and see what all you might have to buy this year. I've actually gotten away a few years in the past, of course, creating costumes out of pieces of other costumes I've used. So a great small tip on how to save a couple dollars if you only have one Halloween party to go to and you don't need a great outfit, because Halloween costumes can kind of get pricey.
When we were kids, that was the best part of it, was putting your costume together. You know, what do we have around the house? Ma, help me with this. Can you sew this? That was part of the fun.
Those times are gone, Tony.
Yeah.
They're long gone. They really are. Am I wrong, Luke? I mean, I see people, I have to be honest, I'm going to put myself out there right now. We spent a ridiculous amount of money on my son's costume last year, who was only 4 months at the time, might I add.
Oh, wow.
I know, stupid.
Oh,
I know, so dumb. We spent probably, and it sounds silly, but we spent probably $40 on this Buzz Lightyear costume, which my son outgrew 5 seconds later. And I thought to myself, what are we doing? So we're just using one of his onesies this year, slapping a little sticker on that says thing one, my husband's going to be thing two, and I'm the Cat in the Hat. That's what's happening.
That's great. I love that idea. And yeah, I mean, kids grow out of costumes, but now there's actually a tip of renting your costume. So I don't know of any particularly here in Connecticut, although I'm sure there are. So if you do opt to renting your costume online or at a shop nearby, always document any tears, any holes, any small damages to that costume, so obviously you're not held accountable at the end of your Halloween parties or trick-or-treats. And then obviously always look for sales too. So fall decor is usually like over half off now, since we're almost to Halloween and the end of October, even though it's only October 10th. So fall is usually rushed a bit, if you guys agree with me on that.
Oh, absolutely. I think I've already gone into the supermarkets and they're selling Christmas things. So I agree with you on that part. And I will say something interesting that you said, Luke Frey with the Better Business Bureau, that you mentioned before with checking your decorations. I have to say another tip that I found helpful, only because you sent out this release a couple or about a week ago, and I thought, oh, thank God for Luke Frey. I would ask my mom or my parents, who are actually trying to downsize, if there were any decorations they didn't want anymore. I took half of my mom's decorations and put them up, and people thought they were great. Those things never go out of style. Halloween's Halloween, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love fall and Halloween and jack-o'-lanterns and all of that. So, yeah, obviously, if you have parents, my parents are also downsizing currently. So I was home last weekend buying pumpkins and mums and all of that. And I actually brought back a few decorations as well. And then also, I just wanted to quickly talk about those events and haunted houses and corn maze events you might buy tickets to. It's also a great idea to use a credit card. If you are purchasing those tickets, see what the return policy or refund policy is. In case you plan on taking kids to it, you have to buy tickets ahead of time. One of your kids gets sick, something happens down the road, since it seems to always happen, in case you can get your money back if you had to buy tickets ahead of time.
And Luke, you have a website on there. Actually, we used it, our family did, to be able to make sure that these are legitimate haunted houses or things, because I know we just bought tickets to a place in Shelton to go through some walk, like the trails, the walkthroughs, and the hay rides and stuff. Give us that website, because I found it very helpful. I actually went to go check to make sure it was legitimate, incredible, before we even bought the tickets. I thought that was really helpful that the Better Business Bureau has.
Are you talking about the BBB.org?
Yeah, and the scam tracker. I thought that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can actually go to BBB scam tracker, and that covers just about any scam. So if you're ordering tickets online, I actually, a quick side note, I saw an article about Alec Baldwin actually bought tickets to a boat ride that he thought was taking him to the Statue of Liberty, and it was actually named so weird, and it actually took people to Jersey, and he was so angry. And as reporters searched, they actually checked BBB.org and checked Scam Tracker, and a ton of people in Manhattan had written in saying that the ship is telling people they're driving them to Ellis Island and not Jersey. So, for example, if you're going to a haunted house, haven't heard of it, you can always check BBB.org and check that scam tracker, too, and see if any other consumers have had that same issue or any issues at all.
All right, Luke, we've run out of time, but once again, give us that website if people want more information.
Sure. It's BBB.org/CT or BBB scam tracker.
All right. Sounds good. Luke, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All right, thank you.
And don't mention Christmas again until it's time. All right.
I won't.
Thanks so much, my friend. On the telephone line is Russ Hackman from Hackman Wealth Partners, and he, of course, is the Wall Street Sweeper, and you can hear that every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Russ, how you doing this morning?
Fantastic, Tony. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I wanted to talk a little bit about the big controversy that erupted in China over the NBA. I mean, apparently some comments from the Houston Rockets GM, Daryl Morey, supporting pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. I mean, this has become an international incident, hasn't it?
It really has, Tony. It is fascinating. And you know, really, I didn't know at first so much about what the deal is with the NBA in China. But of course, the NBA has become immensely popular in China after Yao Ming, we all remember him, was on the Rockets and starting in 2002. There are a couple of stats. There's 200 million people that watched his first game, which is crazy. There's now 800 million people who watched a game in NBA game in China last year. So it's a huge business. And what's happened is, you know, one of the Rockets officials, Mr. Morey, said, hey, he posted a tweet that said, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. He quickly deleted that tweet. But then what subsequently happened is that, you know, the Chinese were absolutely outraged by this, of course. And, they've started taking some actions, which we'll talk about. But interestingly, whereas most American companies like Google, Apple, when China starts raising their hand and saying, hey, you know, we're upset, they immediately run into the corner. The NBA is saying, hey, we're not going to regulate the free speech of our employees, which is somewhat of a function of the power of the sport there. So I think it's going to continue to play out. It's a super interesting controversy.
So a quick deletion of the comments or a quick apology isn't going to cut it?
Not really. And they sort of, There's sort of a half apology, but I actually, you know, very deliberately, you know, the head of the NBA, Adam Silver, has said, you know, we will not regulate the free speech of our employees. So he's making a statement to the Chinese government saying, we're not that sorry. And also, you know, you've got hundreds of millions of people in your country that are going to watch NBA games, whether you allow them to or whether they illegally have to get to them. And so it's a very interesting, the NBA in many ways in allowing their players to make more political statements in the United States and now abroad is I think really showing some guts as opposed to what a lot of companies and sports leagues do when controversy arises.
Well, and Russ, what's interesting is this story kind of comes about, well, we know that the NBA is kind of struggling with China, right? I mean, we've been seeing that they're losing more sponsors, that they're just kind of in this in-between. And I don't want to sound ignorant. I really don't. But you just said China is making so much money off of the NBA right now. It is the top sport watched in China right now. So at the chance of sounding ignorant, don't they need us more than we kind of need them as far as the NBA is concerned? You know, don't they sort of need us to keep making that money?
Well, I think that's somewhat true, Melissa. I think, you know, basically, you know, the NBA is saying, hey, we're your most popular league in your country. And that's actually a fact. So, you know, they have started doing things, as you alluded to, Melissa, which is to start saying, hey, we're going to force certain Chinese sponsors of the NBA, you know, commercials in China like Alibaba, Nissan China, to start canceling their commercials or start canceling their, you know, their sponsorships. But really, you know, I think it's kind of everybody doing a lot of saber rattling. You know, both, you know, the NBA, I think, has got a lot of power. I think they're happy to take a little short-term pain to stand up and be a little bit tougher. But there, make no mistake, at the end of the day, within the NBA, I'm quite sure we can't regulate what the players say, but NBA management is being told to not make any more political statements quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite sure of that. And everybody wants this thing to go away because there's too much money to be made. But again, it is just a super fascinating intersection of so many issues. Big money politics, free speech, Hong Kong, free trade. It's really sort of reflective of the times we're in.
Now, Russ, really quickly, as a question, when you talk about kind of morphing these two things into one, you're bringing the NBA over to China, they're seeing success with it, now the NBA players are getting endorsements, things like that. What if, and I'm just kind of speaking hypothetically, what if this is a no deal? What if China cuts things off? Nope, we're done with the NBA. We're done with that. What will that mean for the NBA, for our players, for any of those endorsements, anything like that, you know, for any of these sponsorships? What does that mean for us?
I think that would be almost impossible, Melissa, if you can believe it or not. So let's say the Chinese government were to say, listen, we're canceling all TV rights. There's now so many ways that people can access games and the internet illegally through certain, you know, if I want to use what's called a VPN, a virtual private network, I can access any site even from, you know, within a controlled country. So but China doesn't really have the ability to cut things off, which I think is pretty interesting. It'd be almost like, you know, banning smoking or alcohol in a country, right?
Right, it's kind of, you can't really do it.
You know how that works out.
You'll find a way, basically. Like, no matter what, you'll find a way to get it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Russ Hackman with Hackman Wealth Partners. If you haven't heard him yet, what are you doing? He's on every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, and you could certainly tune into him right here on WICC 600. Russ, we thank you so much for enlightening us on this, because it really is an interesting topic, and I think sometimes when you get so wrapped up in the sports right here in our own backyard, you kind of miss what's actually going on overseas, which could be a very big deal.
I know. It is interesting how international, and then soccer's another hasn't been political controversy, but obviously that's become such a global sport now. It is fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. So thank you so much for being with us this morning. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday morning.
My pleasure, Melissa and Tony. Thank you. You guys have a great day.
If you saw that Atlanta Braves game yesterday, you saw that they reduced the tomahawk chop rally cry. Now, they did this because one Cardinals pitcher, Ryan Helsley, his grandfather was full-blooded Cherokee. He called the cheer disappointing and disrespectful, and he added, quote, "It depicts them in this kind of caveman-type people way who aren't intellectual, and it devaluates us to be used as mascots." The Braves said that out of respect for Helsley, they have made several changes for yesterday's game. It didn't help them because they got slaughtered, including not distributing foam tomahawks to each seat and, quote, "not playing the accompanying music or using chop-related graphics when Mr. Helsley was in the game." Now, they did all of this, and I don't know. As of right now, you know, Ryan Helsley, he was, you know, he opened up his mouth about how disappointing it is. But then when they turned around and made adjustments for him, he didn't say anything. He didn't thank anybody. He didn't say, "Thank you, Braves, for being sensitive to my plight." It, he just kind of like went about his business.
Well, because maybe it was just that they adjusted it for him, but they're going to go right back to what they're doing. I don't know. I'm just guessing, because as far as I know this morning, they're not going to nix everything altogether, so why even do it for the one game?
Well, if you're going to do it, just do it.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just the way that it goes. Now, some of your responses, should they do away with it? Richard Toth, he said, "With all due respect to our Native Americans, I think people have become too sensitive." Okay.
It seems like a lot of people agree with you, Robert. That's for sure. Donna said, "We're too sensitive now. It's not a dig to Native Americans, but a way to energize the team, which they didn't. They didn't do it last night, and they lost, so there you go."
And Christopher says, "Can we just lighten up? It's a game, not an attack on Native Americans. I'm part Irish. I go after Notre Dame because they are called the Fighting Irish. It's ridiculous." I should say he doesn't go after the Notre Dame because they call themselves the Fighting Irish. He says it's ridiculous. I've got to be honest with you, folks. Like I said, the whole Cleveland Indians thing, Chief Wahoo, all of that, the Indians don't do it anymore. They've taken it off their uniforms. You don't see it on the hats. You don't see it on their sleeves. Now it's a boring C on their hat. I've got several pieces of clothing that have the chief on it, and I love it. I love it, and it's a sentimental thing because, like I said, my first ball game that my dad ever took me to was at Yankee Stadium. They were playing the Cleveland Indians, and that's always stuck with me for many, many years. You know, I don't know. I said it once this morning. I'll say it again. I mean, I was never sensitive to stereotypical Italian thing. For example, I remember, believe it or not, It's a Wonderful Life. If you've seen It's a Wonderful Life, and this always stuck with me, when this scene comes up, I always think of my father because we were watching it as a family, and Mr. Martini finally gets his house, and there's Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and they're giving him wine, they're giving him bread, and as the family, the Italian family, is moving in, they've got chickens, and they've got, you know, all kinds of things like that. And he's talking like this. "Thank you very much. Thank you. I cannot believe I got my own home. This is a beautiful thing. La, 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 la." You know, and my father just said, just out of the blue, not talking to anybody, "They always make the Italians look stupid."
Right, that's always a thing, that we're all just so, you know, rowdy and hey, but that's just not, that's not true. I never go home and go, "Mom, oh my God, I'm so glad to see you."
You know what I'm saying? Again, my grandparents were from Italy. They spoke broken English, but they didn't talk like that.
Exactly.
So this is all, who the hell knows? You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, is it the Native American that is really, really upset over this mascot thing? Or is this other people?
Well, I do think that's a good question. I guess my bigger thing is why do some teams get away with it but other ones don't? I think, you know, you just brought up the Cleveland Indians a few minutes ago. So why was it such a big deal to remove their mascot? But up until, you know, whatever the case may be, up until the postseason, it's not like Helsley wasn't pitching in the regular season. Why now did they decide to get rid of the chop? But it's not like it's going away completely just for this one game. I mean, so it doesn't look like the Braves are going to get rid of it. it. So why? Why do the Redskins, why are they still called the Washington Redskins? Why is that still a thing?
Well, that's been a bone of contention for years and years and years. And the owner there, he's just stood his ground, you know?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to do it, then do it across the board. I just think that I do see where it's offensive to Native Americans. That's completely fair. But then wash it out across the board. Wash it out across the board and kind of give a clean slate. But you're right, it opens up a can of worms. What do you do for all the other nationalities that are kind of played on for a number of different things? So no, I don't know.
I get it.